ever had this summer, and has continually for several years. Our summer programs in Israel are still the largest single summer programs in Israel. So I think what we need to do as a movement is stop looking over our right and left shoulder. Right? We have suffered from whiplash all these years because we're always saying, well, gee, that makes us Reform. Gee, that makes us Orthodox. I think what we should worry about is, gee, that does that make it the best us? And we should be true to that. If that is true, then part of what that means is we will never again be the denomination that is the largest in population. I don't care. I would rather be passionate, energized, dynamic, worthy, than have large membership roles. Now, that means we're going to have to organize differently. It means we're going to have to think about budgeting differently, and we're going to have to think about our community structures differently. But I'm game. Right? I think that there will always be a place for a robust centrist movement in Judaism with one more caveat. We have for a long time confused centrist with boring. And I remember one devastating time I was invited to address the National Conference of the American Jewish Committee. So I gave the keynote address and someone came up and said, what kind of rabbi are you? It's an interesting sort of question to be asked. You know, so I tried to give an honest answer. I said, dashingly attractive. You want me to categorize myself? I will. No, they said, like, are you Reform? And I said, well, why would you think I'm Reform? And they said, well, at first I thought you were conservative, but you're really good. That's not really nice. Right? I think we have become the stodgy movement in Judaism. And, I have devoted my professional career to distinguishing conservatism from stodginess. I think we need to have a little flash and pizzazz. I think we need to be really excited by what we do. We have the best congregants. We have the best rabbis. I go to cities across North America, and what is astonishing to me is the rabbis who are creating the real buzz in their communities are almost always the conservative ones. There are plenty of conservative synagogues that are not really passionate and exciting, but if you go to a community where there's a synagogue that's really energizing, it's almost always the conservative one. We should own that with pride and stop counting numbers. It's not about numbers, it's about quality.
One more question.
One more question.
The idea behind reforming the conservative movement is an affirmative one, the idea of making it more attractive. That is antithetical to the language of standards. The tragedy with the conservative movement is not intermarriage, because of course intermarriage is endogenous. We don't randomly assign people to partners and then see what happens. The problem with the conservative movement is that part of what leads us to the pattern of disaffiliation in large part is related to a part of its theological core, which is we have standards, everybody has to keep kosher, but nobody does. Now you can drive to synagogue, but everyone, of course, is already driving to synagogue. Part of the problem is that we focus, much like the Orthodox, on the peripheral, the fear of crossing some kind of line. And the fear of crossing that line, much like the fear of mixed dancing, changes the center, changes the core in a way that's not constructive. So I find the last two-thirds of your talk much more invigorating and inviting to reform the conservative movement, in large part because it focuses on the center. Let's not worry about the core. Let's not worry about the periphery.
Do you want a response?
Hopefully an agreement.
I do need to let you know that we will be sending your name to New York, so you'll be hearing from them soon. No, I am going to respond to that. I agree with three-fourths of what you've said. And the other fourth is an error. As follows. If all we have to say is what you can't do, then that is certainly true. But the abdication of standards is the abdication of identity. Everybody has standards. The question is, how do you present them, in what context, and what proportion of your attention is occupied by the standards? You know, when Freud and Jung were still somewhat allies, you know, Jung was a student of Freud. And he wrote to the old man and he said, you know, here in Switzerland, I've made analysis much more attractive by dropping the theory of infantile sexuality. And Freud wrote back and said, and if you drop the rest of the theory, you'll make it even more popular. Right? So the challenge is, I don't want to be everyone's Judaism. And I believe that you have to have appropriate standards, not to whip the people who don't measure up to them, but to give people goals towards which they aspire. And the language of Judaism has always been its vote. I don't think that's a problem. I actually think that's beautiful. Anyone in a marriage knows that there are things you must do simply because you're married. There are also things you may not do simply because you're married. That's not to say objectively you can't do those things, and it's not to say if you choose to not be married you can do those things. But if you want to maintain a commitment to someone of passion and love, that has a behavioral outcome of things that you must do and things that you may not do that are different than not being in that relationship. If you want a robust relationship to Torah, God, and Jewish tradition, then there's an outcome to that, a behavioral outcome of things that you must do and things that you may not do without harming the intensity of that relationship. So I don't think that's why people, and by the way, be on guard against anyone who says the reason people are not affiliated with the conservative movement, because halavai, we should only get to the point where there is the reason why people are not affiliating with the conservative movement. That would be progress of a capital order. I want to say the main reason people are not affiliated with conservative Judaism has, I think, nothing to do with anything you just said. I think the reason, the number one reason that people don't affiliate with conservative Judaism is American Jews don't give a damn. They're indifferent. What they want is Pop-Tart religion, right? That's why Orthodoxy has a tiny, tiny core, and will not reach beyond that core, because American Jews just don't want to be bothered by commitments of any kind. You can't get them to care about politics. You can't get them to care about economics. You can't get them, I mean, nothing, really. You read the news, and there's like gross stuff going on all over the place, and Americans read it and turn the page, you know, and they forget about it the next day, and it's gone. So I think we have created a culture of zombies. Right? Of people who are the walking dead. They don't emote, they don't care, they don't feel, they don't remember, and they don't live their commitments. And the challenge is, conservative Judaism says, be that way if you want, we're not walking down that road. Right? And what's interesting is Reform Judaism, with all respect, tried to walk down that road. It tried to say, okay, we will be whatever you want us to be. Anything is okay, and their numbers are still declining, which is why I think you're wrong, right? Because we have a Judaism that has virtually no standards whatsoever, and great music, and great energy, and wonderful people, and American Jews are slowly disaffiliating with that kind of Judaism too. Interestingly, when we look at our Christian neighbors, it is those churches that make the most demands that have the growing membership. And the churches that are on the path of don't stir things up, let them do whatever they want, don't be different, those are the churches that people aren't going into. Because you know what? If we're not going to be different and we're not going to offer anything substantive, then I can save a lot of money. So what I think you're right about is conservative rabbis and the conservative movement have used the language of rules and fear as a whip to try to whip people into submission. And I think that is toxic. So I think the challenge is not do we have standards enough, but do we present those standards in the context of a robust optimism and a faith in the Jewish people that they will rise to a level of Torah out of joy and love. Right? So we're agreeing, I think, at the bottom line, but I think the way you frame it is itself a fear whipping that's unworthy. With that, I'm going to fly back to the sunshine.
Let's eat. Thank you very much.